Well, it is great to be with you today. We are in week three of the series, If You're Happy and You Know It. My heart as a pastor is to see you walk in the joy of the Lord. We know this, that the joy of the Lord is our strength. The Bible tells us that. And so I want you to grow strong. And part of that will be when you are rooted and grounded in God's word and his purpose and his plan for you, guess what? You are going to walk in joy because the fruit of his spirit is love, joy, peace. That's just the first three, but it's love. And joy, right after love is joy. I want you to walk in that. As we look at Psalms chapter 1, which is the foundational scripture for this series, it says, oh, the joys of those who do not. Because cutting out the things that we know we shouldn't be doing is the fastest pathway to walking by our spirit, and not our spirit, by the spirit of the Lord, and walking in joy. Oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked or stand around with sinners or join in with mockers. Pretty simple. Cut out living by the advice and following the advice of wicked people or following the lifestyle of fools. Cut that out. But they delight. Who's they? Who's delighting? Those who are living in joy, they delight in the law of the Lord. That's why I want you to get into God's word so that you can read it. And it jumps off the page and into your heart because God by his spirit is speaking to you and you're delighting in it. But it's not just that. It says they meditate on it day and night. If you show me your thoughts, if I could see your thoughts above your head at all times, and I just watch the highlight reel of what you were thinking about all day long, every day, what would that reel contain? And is it going to be God's word and pleasing to him and pleasing to you and something that you'd be honored to show people? Or would your thoughts have a good bit of darkness, evil, mocking, sin? That's a kind of a heavy thought, isn't it? Especially, I thought this was a series about joy and about if you're happy and you know it. Well, how can we expect to be full of joy and live in a place of peace if we're setting our mind on things that are darkness and death rather than life? They delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. They are like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit in each season. And we talked about this the last 2 weeks of being planted and rooted, bearing fruit, good fruit, because you know that I am meditating on God's word. I'm listening to his voice to me. I'm following Jesus. That is like being planted next to a river of life. Jesus is the river, but where you're planted matters. Where you're planted matters. They're like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit in each season. Their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all they do. Today, I want us to look at that passage where it says in verse 3, their leaves never wither. Because we're not called to be in seasons where we wither. Now, here's the truth. There are going to be seasons that are dark nights of the soul. I mean, even David, we see in Psalms 23, writes about, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. There are those seasons where it feels like everything's caving in, like we're into a valley and it's dark and it feels like death is right there. But David says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. And he goes on to talk about how God is there to comfort him and walk him to a place of life and peace where he can lay down in green pastures by still waters. It's a really beautiful picture, but it's a reminder to us that even though we walk through those valleys and those shadows of death in those moments, we're not making camp there. Because that dark night of the soul is not a place where you're supposed to live. It's a place where you're constantly walking towards the light of daybreak, and it's coming as you follow him. So, never wither. That's a pretty big deal. You know, in Psalms 92, which I can't remember after a while, it's, did I say this at live service? Did I say this as we were recording? But there's three passages of scripture that are just so similar. It's Psalms chapter 1, it's Jeremiah chapter 17, and in Psalms 92, where it says in verse 12, it says, the godly will flourish like palm trees and grow strong like the cedars of Lebanon. See, we're called to flourish, not to wither. And we're going to walk through difficult things. That's understandable because we live in a difficult and broken world, and it's no surprise when that brokenness invades our space. But we can live full of life. We can flourish. The godly will flourish like palm trees and grow strong like the cedars of Lebanon, for they are transplanted to the Lord's own house. See, this question of where is so huge. Where are you living? And I'm not talking about like geographically. Let's be honest. It's better to live in a beautiful environment than to live in a trash dump. But where are you living? Like, where are you living your life from? The fact of the matter is that after the hurricane, at least in this area, and I know many of you are listening, you're not from this area, but if you could have been here right after the storm, it was really a difficult place to live in. But the difficulty wasn't in that all of the trees were broken and the power was out for over a month and we didn't have water for over a month and schools were out for almost a year. See, those were difficult things, but they were doable things. The real difficult thing for most people was where were they living here? Because it's easy to set our focus and to sow seeds of death because we see death and brokenness all around us. But we are called as the godly, those who are planting good seed. It says the godly will flourish. If I'm trusting him and planting seeds of faith rather than fear, that's why David said, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, because fear is what opens up the door to darkness. And it's the seeds that if we're not careful, we'll plant those seeds of fear. Oh my gosh, I'm never going to get out of this. It's never going to change. Listen to me, God is with you. And when you are godly, you will flourish. The difficulty in that season, at least in this region, wasn't simply the practical aspect of dealing with the brokenness. We had to deal with that, but listen to me, that's been dealt with. That was 2.5 years ago. It's in 2020. And yet so many people, I've seen it. And if I'm honest, I had to get to the place where I got out of allowing the practical to be the thing that brought me to the place in darkness spiritually, because that's the tactic of the enemy when we encounter difficulty. But when I am godly, I'm listening to his voice, I'm looking to him, that my mind is set on things above, that's scriptural as well. And I can look at the things around me, but because I'm planting godly seed, where I am geographically is a far second to where I am spiritually. That's why it says, the godly flourish, they grow strong. Verse 13, for they are transplanted to the Lord's own house. I want you to flourish. I want you to never wither. Never. That means that where you are matters. I'm in Colorado. I'm in the Philippines. That's great. Where are you spiritually? Are you withering? Or are you flourishing? You see, there's not much in between. I mean, there's that transitional season, but if you allow the natural seasons to affect your soul to the place where you live in the place of withering, listen, we're all going to go through the hard stuff, but are you planted, rooted? Are you growing? I'm going to go back to Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. It's the very beginning, and Genesis is so foundational because it is the beginning. And this was God's heart. It said, so God created human beings, in verse 27, in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. See, we're to reflect God's purpose because we are created in his image. We are to reflect him. So when I focus on the darkness, what am I reflecting? Because God's light. God is light. Like, he's light and life. What am I reflecting? And then in verse 28, it says, after it says he created them in his own image, male and female, he created them. It says, then God blessed them. God blessed them. Do you know that you're blessed? If I want to live a flourishing life, where I am matters. I'll be honest, I think geography is a big deal as well. Like, it's so easy for me if I'm in the mountains and looking at a lake that there's something there that goes, I think we can all say that. But there's also the spiritual, when I am in the presence of the Lord and I hear his whisper and I sense his spirit, there's comfort there. I still want that for you. As we look back in Genesis, and God's heart for you, for us. He created you to reflect Him. God's not worried. God's not scared. He blessed you. God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth, govern it. Reign over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the animals that scurry along the ground. God's blessed us to be fruitful. Are you living a fruitful life? Is what's growing out of your life, is it something that people could receive and they themselves grow? Here's a huge truth. I want you to get it. You grow what you sow. If I'm sowing seeds of godliness, if I'm delighting in the law of the Lord, if I'm spending time with Him, guess what? I'm going to grow into the image that He has for us, an image that we know that we're blessed, that we're fruitful, that we're reproducing in a way that people can see Him, because it's life and light and good and hope. It's not death and destruction. Like, where am I living? What am I sowing? And here's three things. Here's the first one. God calls us to a continual season of spiritual growth. Well, what's that mean? Continual spiritual growth. I mentioned last week about Mark chapter 11 and Jesus going inspecting the fig tree, even though He knew it wasn't the season for fruit because He was hungry and He wanted a fig. And when He couldn't find it, He cursed the tree and walked away. And His disciples that were following, as close as 12, were probably like scratching their heads like, what? He knows it's not the season for figs. But the next day, as they walk by the same tree, it's Peter who blurts out, Jesus, oh my gosh, this is the tree you went to yesterday looking for figs. I mean, we're like, what's the deal? Like, we know there's no figs. It's not the season for figs. But it's withered from the roots up. And then Jesus said, hey, if you say to that mountain, be thrown into the sea, and you believe and you have faith, it's going to happen. What's the parable? What's the story for you and for me? That we are called to have faith in Him and to continually grow spiritually. What does that practically look like? Let me define very simply and clearly what spiritual growth is. Spiritual growth is simply the process of replacing lies with the truth. See, God's a God of truth. You'll know the truth and it'll set you free. That's so true. That's scripture. Jesus says this. But let me tell you, sometimes when you know the truth, it'll make you miserable before it sets you free, because it's hard to take. Have you ever had hard truth and had to face it and swallow it? It can be like, it's like a pill going down, but it's what brings health and healing and wholeness. And I want you to be able to see by two avenues, really three. One, the Word of God. Number two, the Spirit of God. Number three, the people of God who love you. God loves you. He gave His Word to you that it'll prick your heart with just that Holy Spirit tug when, like, what's the Lord showing to you? Where's the truth? Are you hearing it from godly people? And you can go, you know what? I need to grow in that. And you replace a lie with the truth. I so want you to grow and to be in a season where you are continually fruitful because you are continually sowing good seed. That's the first one. The second thing, it's the seeds that we sow that determine what we grow up to be. The seeds that we sow, what you grow, or what you grow is because of what you've sown. You will grow into what you sow. What you sow. You grow what you sow. So, you like that? Sow good things. It's the seeds we plant that determine what we grow up to be. In Isaiah 30, and for me, this was just, it's honestly just so comforting. It says, so the Lord must wait for you to come to Him. See, God's waiting for you to come to Him. He's here. He's all around us. God is waiting for you. You're like, Lord, where are you? He's right there. He's right there. What is it that feels like there's a separation? Well, first of all, feelings are fickle. But secondly, there's a practical reality that we must deal with to go to the Lord. And that's our sin. It's Isaiah 59 that tells us that our sins separate us from God. Here's the good news, though. When we come to Jesus and receive His forgiveness and recognize He broke the curse of sin on the cross. He paid the price for sin in our lives. And now we can walk in forgiveness and freedom, and we can know, even when we sin again, that forgiveness is there and that Jesus is our intermediary. He's the one who made a way. Wow, how cool is that? I am one prayer away from the Lord hearing my voice. Actually, he always hears my voice, but he's waiting for you to recognize him. So the Lord must wait for you to come to him. Look at what it says, Isaiah 30, verses 18 and 19. So he can show you his love and compassion. Like, I can't give my kid a hug unless they come into my presence. I'm there with open arms, but they have to turn to me and run to me and run into daddy's arms for a hug. I mean, I guess I could chase them down, but any parent knows, like, chasing kids down to hug them is a task. And when you do that, they're normally like, and off me, get off me. But there is nothing more joyous to both child and father when they come running with open arms. Is that how you're living your walk with the Lord? Listen, I want you to be in a continual season of spiritual growth, constantly living in the place where you're like, Lord, I want your truth in my life. Help me to see the lies that I'm living by. That's why you need his word. You need the leading of his spirit. And you need people to help you with that. And the second thing is that you are choosing to plant good seeds. How do I do that? Starts with he's waiting for you to come to him. Spend time in his presence. Spend time in prayer. Spend time seeking him so that he can show you his love and compassion. For the Lord is a faithful God. Blessed are those who wait for his help. Sometimes we're walking through the valley of the shadow of death and it's like, dang, this is a big mountain on either side. This is a long valley. Yeah, but guess what? Wait for his help. Verse 19, O people of Zion who live in Jerusalem, you'll weep no more. He'll be gracious if you ask for his help. God hears the cries of his people. If there's one thing that we see throughout Scripture, God hears the cries of his people. Sow seeds of faithfulness. Sow seeds of prayer. Listen to me carefully. Sow seeds of prayer. God hears your prayers. We expect an immediate answer. It's like, okay, I have this frozen heart in this frozen situation. I need to microwave spiritually, throw it in 1 minute. Man, I hate when you got something like frozen, like a Hot Pocket. Everybody loves Hot Pockets, right? We've probably all eaten them. But it used to frustrate me that I had to wait more than like 30 seconds for a Hot Pocket. Like, we're such an instant gratification society. Like, God is patient. We love his patience when it's dealing with our sin. Are we okay with his patience in dealing with his redemption and deliverance? Because it's in those difficult times that he's going to forge a character in you that is going to see you through the coming season, but more importantly, because you spent time sowing seeds of faith and prayer, not just build the character in you to get you through the season, but to be a blessing, to be an encourager, to be an example to other people. Verse 23 out of Isaiah 30 says, then the Lord will bless you. Then when? When you wait on him, when you go to him, when you wait for him to deliver, when you cry out for help, the Lord will bless you with rain at planting time. There'll be wonderful harvests and plenty of pasture land for your livestock. In other words, when it's difficult and you sow seeds of faithfulness, your faith is going to increase, and God's going to honor your faithfulness, and he's going to show up and provide. It's what he does. Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory. Are you sowing seeds of faith and faithfulness, seeds of prayer? And the last thing, never stop sowing good seed. Good seed. Good seed. Have you ever worked in a flower bed? My wife has an amazing green thumb, and our landscaping and flower beds look fantastic. Do you know why that is? Because she's constantly in them. She's fertilizing them. She's pulling weeds. She's putting mulch down. She's pruning back the things that are healthy and growing, but not growing the way that she wants them to. She is actively at work in the flower beds in the spring every day In the summer, I would imagine it would be every day. I can't remember a time, like if she's outside, she's going to be looking, inspecting, because she's sown good seeds and she's willing to do the work to see them grow. Do you see the correlation? Look at Ecclesiastes 11:6. It says, plant your seed in the morning. Keep busy all afternoon, for you don't know if profit will come from one activity or another, or maybe both. Plant good seed. Plant good seed. Pretty simple message. You need to be planted by the riverbank. That's Jesus. You need to constantly be sowing good seed. You've got to know God has blessed you and called you and created you. He's blessed you to be fruitful and to multiply. What a cool thing. So here's my question to you. Do you want to flourish? I know that sounds like a silly question. Well, of course I want to flourish. Do you? Because sometimes it's kind of fun to do your own thing, not realizing, what is it, Proverbs 14:25 and 16:12 that says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Stop leading and living your own life and surrender it to the Lord of heaven, the Lord of the universe, and say, Jesus, here's my life. Lead me. I'll follow. That is good seed. And that ensures you'll never wither if you live by that day by day. And maybe that's you. You're going, I'm tired of trying to figure it out myself. Follow Christ. Follow His word, His ways. Leads to a place of joy, peace, wholeness. And if that's you, I want to pray with you. Say, if you say, I'm tired of living my way, maybe God's knocking on the door of your heart and He's calling you to open your heart and surrender all of it to Him. That's Jesus in Revelation 3:20, knocking at the door of your heart, saying, if you just open it up, I'm going to come in. And how do you do that? Well, first, you have to recognize that you've been living your own life. That's not God's plan for you. He has a better one than your best idea. He has a purpose and a plan written out before the foundation of the earth. Open up your heart and say, Jesus, I acknowledge my own sin and my way. But I believe, Jesus, you have a better way. And you laid down your life on that cross for me. And so I confess this truth. My way is not what you've called me to. I believe you died for my sins on that cross. I surrender my life to you. If that's you, I just want to pray with you. Say just something like this. Say, dear Jesus, I open my heart to you. I turn from my sin and my way. I give you my life. Amen. Listen, if you prayed that prayer, that is the very beginning of a spiritual journey and a spiritual walk that God has predestined for you. He's created that for you before the foundation of the earth. Follow Him. And I want to help you grow into that and become what He's called you to be. What's the next step? The next step would be reach out. Let us know about the decision that you've made. One of our online pastors will connect with you. And we want to provide you with relationships and resources to help you grow. So great being with you guys. See you next week as we wrap up this series. And if that was you and God's doing something in you, let us know. Maybe God's doing some cool stuff. Let us know. Maybe you just made a decision to follow Him. Let us know so we can help you grow. God bless. Love y'all. Hold on.